Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia.
Joining me today in the studio is Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Even though it is a dreary morning in Atlanta, Georgia, it's fall and the temperatures are right.
Mm-hmm. You like this time of year?
I love the fall weather. There's no question about that.
Is this West Virginia weather?
Part of the time. In the fall, this is West Virginia weather. Joining us in Dallas, Texas is Kevin Ritz. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Sam. We've got the same weather situation here. It's been raining for about 2 days straight now.
Well, I'm not going to complain. Believe it or not, Atlanta is officially in a drought period once again, so we had about 1 year reprieve from the dry weather, so all the rain that we can get, we'll take. Kevin,
right.
I know you're sitting in for Brad, so we're going to turn it over to you. Take it away.
All right. Thanks, Sam. This morning I have with me Greg Gerendis and Dee Bergen from AIM Mediation. Greg has been with us once before with Senior Adult Services, and today he's here representing AIM Mediation. And, Greg, why don't you kind of give us a little bit of your background again, where you went to school and how you came to be where you're at with AIM.
Thank you, Kevin. It's really a privilege to be here again. I've lived in Dallas since about 1986. I've been an ordained Lutheran pastor since 1982, and over the years have dealt with many issues that affect seniors and their families. The agency that I represent, Senior Adult Services, cares for a segment of that population in the suburbs of Dallas. And AIM Mediation is a different avenue that we have started for mediating issues among elders, seniors, and the issues that affect elder, the senior, and their families. AIM Mediation is the avenue that we think is the best way to serve the family, keep the family intact, and provide help the family maintain and arrive at a solution that they can carry out and stay as a family.
All right. And Dee, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? And I know Greg mentioned you're from Nebraska originally.
Not originally.
Okay.
We've moved around the country a lot. I keep following my husband around. I grew up in the Cleveland, Ohio area, went to law school there at Cleveland Marshall, started practicing in Chicago, then we moved to Minneapolis, St. Paul for a few years, and we spent about 8 years in Omaha before moving to Dallas 4 years ago. Along the way, I started practicing the area of elder law, so working with seniors and their families on end-of-life planning, financial planning, care issues, incapacity issues, and with that, decided that I just didn't have a good enough background to help families think through some of those issues, so I went back to school at Loyola and actually got a master in medical ethics and healthcare policy. So with all of that, when I came down here, I started actually trying to educate families on aging and caregiving issues, and that's primarily what I do. And then Greg and I last year started AIM Mediation to help those families talk to each other. We do elder mediation, which is a fairly new use for mediation. There aren't a lot of people around the country doing it, but the idea is to help families talk to each other and work through these issues and the challenges raised by aging and illness.
Okay. What is the most common issue that you find arising between aging individuals and their families?
The issue arises and the need for mediation service when a family finds itself in a position that they are facing issues and don't have the tools to deal with the situation. You have a loved one that's suffering from a chronic illness, dementia, Alzheimer's. That person needs to be institutionalized. Something needs to happen to the estate. No one's dealt with the financial medical issues. They don't have end-of-life issues on paper, no directives. The family is kind of lost and in chaos. mediation helps the family arrive at decisions that they can own and at the same time can have the tools available to figure out exactly what their choices might be. So not only do offer mediation to help them, you know, table, air all of these issues, but then we provide what we call a senior resource consultant that provides some of those tools. Details about those things.
Well, I think you've explained it really well, Greg. What we found is that, you know, for most families, the first time they are dealing with someone who now has a cognitive difficulty from Alzheimer's or dementia or stroke or serious illness, this is a first for them. It's a first experience. And so they don't have the resources they need to figure out what to do next. And they get stressed. They're stressed because of the situation originally, and they're stressed because they don't know what to do. And most of us don't react really well to stress, and so that's when we start to pick at each other, and issues get blown up, and issues from when we were 6 years old come back out. You know, Mom always liked you best, so you should take care of Mom now. All those things get blown out of proportion, and what people really need is the information so they can put together a workable plan. So we do a hybrid mediation education model. That's what we use. We start a mediation. We can interrupt the mediation after we've identified the issues the family wants to work on that day. We introduce a senior resource consultant who is quite often a geriatric care manager, so that person has a great deal of expertise in what resources are in the area, what benefits might be available. Give the family about an hour with that consultant. Now they come back in mediation, we restart, and they go, oh, we have ideas. We have something to discuss. We can put together a plan now. They can't create a plan that they can agree on out of nothing. They need information. We can't hand them the plan because then it's our plan and not theirs. And for mediation to work, the parties have to create a plan that they believe in. So by providing them a chance to get the information they need, we can help them create their own plan, and that's our goal.
Do you find that in most of the situations you're working at, the conflict is between the parent and the children or between the children?
Yeah, it's usually among the children. There could be a spouse involved. We had a case where there was the gentleman in the family was suffering from Alzheimer's. The wife knew that something needed to be done, but the children weren't talking. So we were able to get the spouse and the children together, help them resolve some of the same issues Dee was talking about, lifelong roadblocks to even talking. So that the bottom line was that they could all communicate, they all had a plan to work from, and everyone was going to get the kind of care that was needed. It's not just about resolving the issues, it's making sure in the process that the person involved with the situation, the stroke, the illness, whatever it is, gets the care that they need, and the family survives through the experience. The family is going to be around a long time afterwards, and what we want to make sure is that the family stays together as a family through the illness on the basis of the plan the mediation constructed.
Oh, wow. So it almost sounds like through this, families that have had issues for a long time might actually end up coming together through needing to find care for their parents or their grandparents.
Sometimes that can happen, and that's a very good outcome. What happens too often when people don't try to sit down and talk to each other and don't get the resource information is those sorts of stressful care decisions actually pull families apart. As an attorney, I've done a lot of contested guardianships. If someone has Alzheimer's and they don't have a power of attorney in place to allow someone to help them, when you have someone who's incapacitated, then the court has to appoint a guardian to manage finances, to make care decisions, and families will fight to the bitter end as to who that should be, whether it really needs to happen, because often we have one or more children in complete denial going, oh, Dad's fine, Dad's not fine, but something needs to be done and they don't know how to deal with it. So I've seen those families come to the point where at the end of the day, the court appoints someone, the siblings never talk to each other again, or the siblings who lost never talk to Dad. That's a bad way to go about resolving these problems. What we try to do is help the family come together to create that plan, and at least we prevent that further fracturing. Sometimes it helps closer. At least we don't want them to push each other further away.
Right, okay. I'm sure you have no shortage of experiences or stories where this has really been a rewarding experience for you. Can you kind of think of one in recent memory where everything kind of went the way that you'd ideally like it to go and kind of what you got out of that?
It's a hard question because they never go exactly the way we want them to go, and actually it's not up to us. That's an interesting question. It doesn't matter where we want it to go. The role of the mediator is to be neutral. And if the family's happy and the person who needs assistance is getting good assistance and good care at the end of the day and has been treated fairly and there's a decent plan in place, it doesn't matter if it's the plan I would have created or if I'm happy with it. Are they happy with it? That's what mediation is all about. They create their own good plan.
And, you know, those are good stories, and there are some successes. The ones that we kind of wring our hands about are the ones that refuse to come together for mediation. To argue about color TVs and who's going to get the money. And in the process, the person with the situation, the illness, whatever it is they're facing, is really not even on the radar. They're arguing about things that have nothing to do with who's going to care for mom or dad in the process. So we've got lots of stories about people that came together, got a referral from an attorney. And when we talked to the parties about getting together for mediation, it just never happened because they chose to either go to court, sue, choose a way that would result in the family going further apart, not coming together to care for the person.
Yeah. So in a situation where you have one side willing to come to the table for mediation and another side who's not, is there anything you can do? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the invitation to sit down and talk. And that often, I spend more time in the office working on this than our other mediators can or Greg can, so I'm the cold caller. One family will call and say, okay, I think we need a mediation. These are the issues. These are the people involved. And then it's my job to pick up the phone and call them out of the blue and go, your sister thinks that maybe having a family conference would help. This is what mediation sounds like and looks like. Would you be willing to give it a try? Can we try setting up a date? Oftentimes that will be successful because that person knows they have issues as well. Sometimes it simply won't. I had one family where the one sibling I talked to simply said, no, I want to put my sister through hell, and that's what we're going to do. I'm going to court.
That was the plan.
That was the plan, and he was very happy with that plan. With that, we can't work with. But very often, being invited to the mediation, saying other members of the family realize there's a problem here, they want to sit down and talk about it in a safe setting, a neutral setting where everyone is going to be abiding by some rules of behavior, sometimes that's enough to get them in a room.
Now, there are situations where the courts are very important, attorneys are very important. However, mediation is an alternative to going right to an attorney or right to court if you don't have to. And it can save literally thousands of dollars that would be eaten up by attorney's fees by making a choice to have an attorney work on a solution when, in fact, the attorney has an adversarial role to protect a client that he or she has that kind of can work contrary to mediating a settlement where the parties are neutral and they get to own the solution. You know, an attorney has a dog in the fight. And so before you get that far, mediation becomes a very attractive alternative that can save quite a bit of money and definitely a lot of stress in the whole situation.
Okay. Kevin.
Kevin. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can I interrupt here and interject something for Greg and Dee? From personal experience, there are a couple of things. I went through this with my family in the last 12 months. And first of all, I see great value in what you're doing. When you do this, you got to have a plan. You got to have a message. And I can see where Dee is able to put together from a legal standpoint, a plan, but you know you got to be able to deliver the message properly. And I can see from a counseling standpoint, Greg, from your standpoint of how you deliver that message is vitally important. So I see great value there. And then let me say very quickly, I have a very good close family. My siblings and I were really one. And in the best of circumstances, it's a very, very difficult situation. Very difficult. So I would encourage anyone who is facing this to seek you out, to talk with you and use your services.
Thank you. We have found, as I said before, with the situations that don't end up going to mediation, some of those are very close families that end up thinking they can handle the situation, and it ends up destroying the family and the closeness that they had because they used to come to the table together.
I have to second that. I mean, you just kind of, we didn't, it didn't destroy our family, but I tell you what, it created a rift in us, and you know, we're still trying to piece it back together, and we're going to because we're that close, but it's very, very difficult.
I admire your determination to do that, and I think that's what most families want. They want to come together in a time of crisis, but all those old emotions and just the fears, you know, the facing your own mortality if you watch a parent age or die. It's a very scary process, both because you love that individual and because you have to face that someday this will happen to you. There are just lots of emotions involved and lots of things that come up. So if you get your family to keep talking, that's the best way.
All right. Dee, if you have a piece of advice that you can give to our listeners, I guess Greg has one too. So we'll start with Dee. If you can give us a piece of advice for our listeners to take back with them, so if they have a similar situation, they can recall that and go from there.
Sure. I would suggest that if you're facing a care situation or a crisis of care or financial crisis for an ill or aging family member, that you get as much resource information as possible. Part of what stressed families fight about is that they don't know where to go next or what to do. So you're going to need to get some good information from someone. So if you don't have someone in the area that you know to help, you know, try to find a geriatric care manager, an elder mediator, someone who knows resources, and that will help you put together a plan.
All right, and Greg?
Well, I would add to that the tagline that I use for my agency, and that is old age runs in every family. Sooner or later, everyone is going to have to deal with the issues that we're talking about today, especially with the onslaught of my favorite generation, the baby boomers, who have all these great expectations and are going to find that reality is going to be somewhat different than what they expected. And in order to face that as you get older, don't wait. Plans are absolutely necessary, and sooner or later, you're going to have to put together some of the things that we're talking about.
All right. How can our listeners get in touch with you? You have a website and phone number you'd like to share?
We do. Phone number is 972-809-0247. That's AIM Mediation and our parent company, eSenior Services. And then the website is www.e-seniorservices.com, e-seniorservices.com. And right on the homepage, you'll see several options that will take you to the mediation pages.
All right. Well, that's great. And, Sam, with that, we're going to throw it back to you.
Kevin, I thank you. I thank Greg and Dee. Great information, and we thank you for being a guest on our show today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Joining me in Atlanta, Georgia, I have three guests. All of these individuals are from Plantation South Assisted Living, and we're just going to have a very lighthearted conversation about Plantation South and about the lives of these individuals. Joining me is Mickey Matheson, Shirley Walters. Both of them are residents of Plantation South. And also with us is Sarah Beal. Sarah has been a guest on our show now three times. Is that right?
I'm a professional now.
She's a professional. We pay her. And Sarah is the official activities coordinator of Plantation South. And as we begin, I will say this, unsolicited, Mickey and Shirley both agreed that Sarah is the heartbeat of Plantation South. So with that, I'm going to go to Sarah. Sarah, why don't you tell us a little bit about
Plantation South. How did you get there? And just give us a little bit of your background to refresh the minds of our listeners.
All right. Well, Plantation South is assisted living home in Duluth. We're near downtown Duluth. We do assisted living. We do a senior day program. We do a respite program. So we try to meet everyone's needs. Like Sam said, my position there is the activity director. I think I've said this once before. I like to call myself the director of excitement. we have a lot of fun. We're, you know, just because, well, they're a little bit older doesn't mean that we slow down at all. So we're pretty busy, have a good time. I got into what I'm doing actually. It's been a few years now. I've been doing this for about 5 years, but I did some volunteer work at a nursing home in the activities department. And about a year later, a job opened up. So I started there and have loved it ever since. It's kind of anybody who I know from years past who finds out what I'm doing, they're just like, that's perfect for you. You know, you found your calling. So it's pretty nice. I'm pretty lucky because I get to go to work every day and it's not work. I have a lot of fun. All of the residents are, you know, grandmas and grandpas and friends to me. So we have a good time. We, you know, a little bit of everything.
Well, I can attest. I've been to Plantation South, dropped in unannounced, and I have seen Sarah literally up to her elbows in body paint. So it is all possible.
Yes. You never know what we're going to be doing.
Let's move to our guests. Let's go with Shirley. Shirley Waters. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
And why don't you, Shirley, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? And just give us a little synopsis of your life history, if you could.
Well, I was born in Mississippi. I lived in Charleston, South Carolina. I got married, and I lived in Washington, D.C. My aunt and uncle stood up for us when we got married. My husband went to college at Cortland State, mm-hmm. and he went on to Syracuse University, and he got a doctorate. He was a psychiatrist.
Okay. How did you...
I'm sorry. I had one child, and another child, and another child, and another child. Stop me when I get to seven.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, you had four, so seven children, okay. And are they in this area?
My one son that I lived with for a lot of years, for 10 years until I got sick, lives in Lilburn.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two little boys, 1 4 and 1 7.
And what are their names?
Austin and Justin.
Well, that will thrill them to hear their name on the radio.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
If you could, Shirley, tell us... how did you choose Plantation South, or why did you choose Plantation South?
My son and my daughter went to many places, and they liked what they saw at Plantation South, and that everyone was really created equal.
What is one of the favorite things that you do there?
Watch Sarah.
Watch Sarah. Miss Excitement, huh?
I'm telling you, I love Sarah so much. We all do.
I actually remember Shirley's first day when she first came in, and we had a big circle in the activity room, and we were doing a sing-along, which is one of our favorite things to do. We're all, not all of us are fabulous singers, but we're fans of trying. Mm-hmm. And Shirley's first day, she came in, and she was just right there with us. Singing all of our old favorites, and she's going to be a fun one, so.
I enjoy that.
That's good.
Very much.
Let's move to Mickey. Mickey Matheson. Mickey is also a resident of Plantation South. Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Glad to be here.
No, we're glad to have you. Mickey, why don't we begin this as we did with Shirley? And why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Tell us a little bit of your past.
I'm a Georgia peach.
Oh,
I was actually born in Georgia, raised in Georgia, but I did travel a lot. I've been to Vienna, Austria. I've been to Alaska and everything in between, all kinds of things. So to wind up here in Duluth, Georgia, in the home where I am, has just been just the greatest thing. It's my Tara. It looks like Tara. I loved Gone with the Wind. So there's the white columns, and the place is so so inviting. It's so cozy. It's so homey. You, when your family leaves to go home and leave you, they don't feel like, oh,
yeah,
my poor mother is, you know, going to be so lonesome.
Yeah.
No, we have such a uplifted atmosphere.
Can you talk about your first day there? What was
my first day there? Well, Sarah and one of the other young ladies that work for us, they got together, and they told me I could have my dog. So I have my dog
at the facility.
Lives there. We've been there 2 years.
And is he your dog or is
my dog?
Well, no. Or has the whole facility adopted him?
Well, everybody's
our dog.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. Candy is. Everybody knows the lady with the dog. It's not, you know, the dog.
It's not Mickey. It's
not
the lady
Mickey
with the dog.
And her dog. Yeah. It's so. They went out and they came back and sat down in the floor in my room, and they had bought presents for my dog, not me. So we sat in the floor, and that was a welcome to me that I really, really needed,
yeah.
You know, because I had been a vibrant person involved in everything. I was a church secretary for 10 years mm-hmm. till I retired at the age of 70. And so when I was diagnosed legally blind,
mm-hmm.
couldn't drive anymore, put a stop to all that,
mm-hmm.
I needed a place that I could regroup.
Mm-hmm.
And so Plantation South has given me that. They've given me the help I need, but given me the liberty to do what I want to do, like I work in the yard.
Yeah.
Nobody else does, but I do. Yeah. I work in the yard.
You know,
I brought my own lawn furniture, mm-hmm. and it's just outside my window in the courtyard. You know, so Plantation South is a place that you can get better.
You know, it's interesting. I hear you speak, Mickey, and let me throw this out, and you can, either one of you, Shirley or Mickey, can comment on this. I see this situation, Plantation South, allowing you to come and reside there, which most people think is going to be giving up your independence and your freedom. And I watch you two speak about it, and I see in your eyes and in the tone of your voice just the opposite. It allows you to do what you want to do. It allows you to have an identity and yet have people around you to assist you when the need is there. Can you speak to that?
That's true.
Yeah.
And the people there become family. And that's home. And Sarah brings us together mm-hmm. as a family. And that's what makes it feel comfortable. Like when all the family goes home and we're all together, we're together.
Yeah, yeah.
And we help each other. We love each other. We cry with each other and laugh with each other. And
That's great.
And we have so many activities, different activities.
Well, let me go back to Shirley and allow you to speak to that. What is, can you tell us what a day, what can you kind of start at the beginning of the day and just give us some high points of what your day is like?
Well, we get up about 7 o'clock in the morning. I never got up that early all my life, to tell you the truth.
Well, then let's clarify, if you don't want to get up at 7, do you have to get up at 7?
No, there are a lot of people that
okay.
just are not that well,
okay.
and they will bring their food to them,
okay.
you know.
Go ahead, tell us what the day's like.
So at 7 o'clock.
Well, at 9 o'clock.
skip breakfast. Breakfast
yeah.
is good, but
yeah,
so
yes.
breakfast
right.
happens like 7 o'clock, 7:30,
7:30. Yeah, the 8 they serve us. Yeah, right.
And the food's
and
good.
Then,
the food's good.
I think so. For the most part, we have a new chef, and I think he makes the best cheesecake in the whole world.
Well, what's your favorite activity?
Bingo. Just recently, bowling.
Bowling.
Yeah,
remember
bowling.
How many strikes
well,
I did?
Now, is it yeah. bowling at a bowling alley, or
no.
how do you do that?
We have plastic pins and a plastic bowling ball. We also have a Wii that we've done bowling on, but that's not as fun because it's not, you know, tangible. But, yes, we had when Shirley, the last time we played, we had a volunteer in, a young man, and the prize was whoever won got a hug from the volunteer. And Shirley actually got about five strikes in a row. So,
and I enjoyed every minute of it because I hadn't bowled since I was like maybe 12 years old or something.
That's good. Mickey, won't you tell us, what's your favorite activity that you've experienced so far?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much.
Well, just pick one.
I have, well, bingo.
Uh-huh.
And we have a computer that is, what do you call it?
It's a Dacom Brain Fitness System. It's a touchscreen computer trivia games.
Is that fun?
That stimulates your memory.
Right, right.
It's good for dementia patients,
okay.
Which I had a little bit of that. And then there's Sarah has, she has an imagination that just goes wild. And that trivia, she comes up with some of the most interesting things, subjects.
Oh.
Well, trivia.
Well, you want to do the intro to the show?
She can coach Brad.
Oh, we have so much fun. And she keeps that little computer sitting there, you know, and if we say, oh, I wonder about this, she finds it. And she's not only that, but she's a friend to us. And she mixes with us. She sits in the floor with us. She just brings us together.
That's great. That's great. Shirley, I know that, Anna said, I've been there enough. I know. You go on, let's call it field trips, for lack of a better term.
Oh,
what's one of your favorite field trips you've been on?
Red Lobster.
I was supposed to say that.
Go ahead.
Because I had my whole family there last year at the Olive Garden. That is one of my favorite places, and I've never had a bad meal there ever. I've always enjoyed it.
That's
great. We go out to lunch once a week. We take a group for lunch, and that's definitely one of the favorites. They have their favorite restaurants.
I know, because I heard you say this, you're going to stop for lunch on your way back to after the broadcast. Where is it that you want to stop?
I said Red Lobster. It's too expensive. It's not in our pocketbook right now. Put it that way.
Sarah,
but we'll go by Chick-fil-A probably.
Yeah. Sarah, let's go to you and tell us from the activity director's coordinator's position, what is it that that charges your batteries? I mean, I know you. I've been around you. I know what type of personality you have. And those who have said that you have found your calling are absolutely correct. But what is it? It's got to be hard to be creative on a daily, weekly basis. Tell us what recharges your batteries.
I think, for me, actually, it's the residents. They completely. But, you know, I'm always, in order to be creative and do, it's because I want to find something that they're going to enjoy, that they're going to love. I will say, though, when I leave work, do not call me. Do not expect me to do anything. I go home, and I'm very quiet. So that is my recharging. But, you know, I mean, a lot of what I do is focused on the residents. They, I love to listen to them talk about me. Thank you very much. But I feel the same way for them. So, you know, me being creative and bouncing around and everything, it's for them and for them to enjoy their day and to find something that, you know, something different that they're really going to get something out of. So that's kind of my motivation, I guess.
Now, when you first started the job, is it how you envisioned it or is it a little different than you imagined it?
A little different. You know, I mean, there is certain things that to me would be great fun and I would love to do. And, you know, so when I first started, at this place at Plantation South, this is the third building I've been at. I'm coming around on my third time doing the holidays and stuff. And I look back differently. You know, my first year, there's stuff that I think they would like. But then I learn as I go, well, you know, not really. They're not.
What is an example of that?
I was going to say, can you off the top of your head, pull one off?
Well, I mean, there's been, you know, certain party I did, I don't know what, you know, holiday, but I will spend, you know, the whole week before getting everything and making sure I've got this and this and this. And when it comes down to it, they were just really excited about the, you know, pumpkin flavored ice cream. You know, I didn't,
right.
I guess, I mean, you know, sometimes I guess I try to go way too much out of my way for stuff when, you know, sometimes keep it simple, you know, and what, keep it with what they really enjoy. And, but I think sometimes I'm trying to, you know.
Well, and let me ask, what is it, Shirley or Mickey, either one of you, that you really enjoy? What do you really enjoy in the course of a day?
Getting together.
Yeah, socialization.
Yeah.
That's exactly
getting
what
together.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody starts coming in, right. And they're walkers, wheelchairs, what have you, you know, and yeah, the camaraderie. Mm-hmm.
We have several 100-year-old ladies
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
and they are marvelous. And the one has a mind, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, like you would never, ever expect out of a 100-year-old person.
Let me ask you something. Do you all gain wisdom from talking to someone of that?
Absolutely.
That's
I
amazing.
Always
yes,
do.
Yes, yes.
I
always, yeah.
That, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking to mm-hmm. to seniors here that are still able mm-hmm. to gain wisdom and to learn. I think that's vitally important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
very.
I think that transgresses mm-hmm. right down to my generation and even my children's generation, that we better start listening to what our seniors, our elders, those that have walked before us, we better gain some wisdom from them, or we're going to repeat the past. Yeah,
we do have several residents that are not friendly to other people. I think you know who I mean. That woman is so hard to get to. She won't smile. She won't talk to you. She's just like a mummy or something. I don't know.
That's the fun of being in the building, too. You get a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, you do. Absolutely.
A little bit. And, you know, like y'all said, we're, yeah. I mean, I'm learning every day, and y'all, too. You're still learning how to get along with people and,
yeah,
you know.
That's
true.
That particular kind of person I zero in on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I make it a project that break that wall down. Mm-hmm. Get that person to... So somebody said this morning, well, she smiles at you. Well, I worked hard to get that smile.
And you have no idea the benefits that that's going to bring, not only to her, but to you,
right.
And
oh,
those that
me.
Are around
yes.
you, those that see it and
makes
understand.
It my day.
Yeah, yeah, that's mm-hmm. great. I'll ask Mickey this. What is it that makes... I think I know the answer when I'm getting ready to ask. What is it that makes Plantation South so special?
It's family-oriented, actually family-oriented. It's they seek to bring the families to the residents. They work to pull everything together, and it's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
A place where you can just be you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just comfortable.
Yeah, you said it earlier. It's home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
home.
And I think the statement there that you said that when your family comes to visit and they leave, you're not blue because you're still at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're not sad because you look sad.
Yeah.
No, because you're not sad. So my family comes, and I have my daughter and her husband and two grandsons, 23 and 26.
Wow.
We come over, they come over, and they're piled up in my room, which is not a very big room, but mm-hmm. they pile up in it. And then Sarah comes knocking on the door. You're having too much fun.
I'm sure the walls bow when that happens.
So she comes, and then we're all in there together, you know. She represents Plantation South. Yeah. I'm the resident, and then there's the family.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's it in a nutshell, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Shirley, if we have listeners who might have parents or grandparents or anyone who is thinking about trying to find a facility, could you give them one piece of advice to look out for? Just one thing that might be beneficial to them as they begin this process.
Well, first of all, my son and my daughter found Plantation South for me. And when you come in, things are strange. But very soon you learn to know Sarah, and she's a sweetheart, let me tell you. I told her once, she took me to the doctor, and we came back, and it was raining, and she helped me with the umbrella. I said, Sarah, I don't know much I'm going to say pay you, but whatever it is, it's not enough.
You know. So she's saying pretty much, you just need to come to Plantation South where I am.
Well, and what I heard her say too is mm-hmm. is you need to get to know mm-hmm. the people there. It's not the bricks and mortar. It's the relationships mm-hmm. and the people. Mm-hmm. And if you have the relationships, regardless of what the facility may or may not be, mm-hmm. it's home. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Mickey. Let me propose the same question. What piece of advice might you give someone who's looking for a an assisted living or facility?
Well, let me say this. I was coming through our reception area, and here was this group of people who had just toured the building. And they were walking in, and this man said, "Well, I never would have thought this was a place for assisted living." Said, "This is an exciting place." Yeah. So you go in looking for closeness, for warmth, for people. Well, I mean, we go walk through the halls and people just smiling the time, yeah. smiling at each other. Look for hominess and search out other places, but you'll wind up coming back to Plantation
South. That's great. We appreciate that advice. Sarah, for our listeners who might be interested in contacting you or visiting Plantation South, how can they do so?
Our phone number is 770-623-0617. And our website is www.plantationsouth-duluth.net. And we are located in downtown Duluth. People can always contact me, too, if they're interested in just coming to hang out and volunteer and, you know, see what we do.
Okay, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. We thank Mickey, we thank Shirley and Sarah for being our guests today. Great show, great thank information. I hope you enjoyed it and had fun.
Thank you.
Certainly did. Very much.
Okay.
I hope he can come again.
No, we can do it.
I promise to behave.
Well, you did well. You did real well.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't want to come, but now
I'm glad you did.
I'm glad I did.
No,
that's what we want to hear.
No.
We thank you again. That's it for today. Once again, we thank our guests in Texas and those here in Atlanta. We thank our listeners for tuning in. We remind our listeners that if they'd like to listen to a rebroadcast or a recording of this broadcast, they can do so at ujiriaradio.com. And as always, in closing, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, mm-hmm. it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. God bless. Have a great day.
Ujiriya Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.